This is exactly right.
Karen, have you heard of Handsome? It's a new podcast from the brilliant comedians Tig Notaro, Fortune Feimster, and Mae Martin.
I have heard of it. People love it. Every week, this handsome trio of hosts takes a question from a famous friend, people like Stephen Colbert, Reese Witherspoon, Jamila Jamil, the Indigo Girls, and then they do their best to answer that question with plenty of hilarious detours along the way.
You're going to love hanging out with Tig, Fortune, and Mae every week, so go check out Handsome wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. Listen to a new episode of Handsome every Tuesday.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Hello, my friend Karen.
Hello, Chris. What are you doing?
I'm back in Los Angeles. I had a great time in Montana, hanging out with my dad.
Great.
My punk rock concert was a hit.
I saw some video. It looked really exciting.
It was fun. I need to take that same class that Ron Funches was talking about, though, because I clearly am singing incorrectly because I had no voice for 2 days and I still sound a little Sam Elliott-y. So I'm a little...
Well, you gave it your all.
I really gave it everything.
It sounds like to me.
The only reason I'm nervous is we've had offers for other gigs and I feel like it's not in my best interest to go scream when my main job requires my voice to not be gravelly. I don't know.
It would feel like you're at a crossroads and you're going to have to pick one career over the other. Just like John Mayer you know what? Stand-up isn't for me.
Right. Yes.
Remember?
You know, it's a lot. It is a real John Mayer crossroads right now.
It is.
I got offered to scream in The Grateful Dead and I might have to turn it down. but yeah, it was very fun.
Good.
And it
People
wasn't
clapped.
As scary as I thought it would be. It was just playtime.
And do you feel braver for having done it?
Yes. And I didn't expect everyone in the crowd to appreciate the songs we were doing. It was really specific songs, like I said, from skate videos and people. I did not expect people to be up front singing along. Mm-hmm. And losing their minds. I was like, oh, this is kind of what it feels like to be a rock star.
Yeah, it's like you were in a cover band.
Yep.
A very specific
Very
cover.
Specific, so, yeah.
That's great.
I loved
that's
it.
Perfect.
I loved it, but I maybe got it out of my system. That's all I'm saying.
Did you love it as much as you love our guest today? Ask
God,
yourself
God, you're
that
so
question.
Smooth with those. No, I did not.
Well, someone's got to do it. You don't? No, you didn't hear the question.
I did not love it as much as our guest today.
Oh, got it. You've seen her at clubs and colleges all over this country. Please welcome to the stage right now, Miss Jackie Cations.
Get up
doing
on stage.
Mime in the Zoom. This is so great. I could have. I thank you for driving me to Solvang. I just want to say that. I'm insulting with an unstable internet. So here's the good news. I'm recording locally. So I'll get to finish every story.
Record locally, podcast globally.
Yes.
That's what we ask you to do for us. Please.
You really are? Because I have experience with Solvang having terrible Wi-Fi throughout its wine country.
It's and this is my wine. I wish it were better. I'll be. Oh my God! I'm always
truly
writing.
Is in truly is in wine country.
I'm always writing, you guys.
I found that place is interesting in that it's a town dedicated to giving people wine, and you try wine, and they top it off and give you extra wine. And the entire city limits is lined with police cars around 9 p.m. waiting.
In hopes to earn hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be bad for business, though. I had a guy just follow me after I went up there for a birthday destination and had wine, and he followed me miles and miles down the road. And
when you say a guy, you're talking about a police officer.
A police guy. He was a policeman. And what if it was just a guy?
Yeah, that would have been super creepy.
Chris
got upset because there was a car behind him. That's the story.
And he didn't even wave when I wanted him to pull over and be my friend. Very unfriendly guy.
He didn't laugh when I stopped short.
He didn't like any of my traffic tricks.
Traffic tricks.
Do you think that's how they keep all those buildings painted so beautifully, is they just keep dinging people with DUIs and moving violations?
Yeah.
Would not be surprised.
And they take and that then, money and grow more grapes.
And then now there's a Chumash casino.
Ooh, are you going to go there?
I can't imagine, but maybe it could happen. You know what I say? I know how to party. And when I say that, I have a new book to read.
You've always said that so loud and proud.
Exactly. Hey, nerd. I realized probably 3 years ago now. Oh, is it? I hope it isn't. I tripped off the curb and sprained my ankle, and I stopped going to Pilates.
Sign from God. This is not working out.
I believe I have like hundreds of dollars in credits. Like I bought like a whole thing.
I do too.
I'm like, I'm going to go.
I have Pilates credit also, and I won't acknowledge it. Was it at least the curb in front of the Pilates studio?
No, it was, we had just gotten a dog and I was walking the dog and I wiped out. And the woman who saw me wipe out, by the way, went back into her house. And the guy, and right. And,
she wanted no part.
Right.
Yeah. I wouldn't blame Pilates. I'd blame dog ownership on that one. You gotta quit loving these dogs and walking.
Or them. You gotta find any reason to quit Pilates. That's what it sounds like to me. Enough of that shit. You're like, now that I'm falling down, I'm thinking about this and Pilates isn't working out for me.
Yeah, no, maybe it was the class I took, but you know, I dabbled in the bar method after my hip and it was great. I have only nice things to say about it, but Pilates, I feel like you can fake it and pretend you're doing the things and still make the body movements and leave totally sweat-free. That's what I didn't like about it. I'm like, everyone here thinks I'm doing it, but I'm not.
Right.
It's so
or
subtle.
No one's thinking about you at all.
Right. They aren't even looking. It's already.
They don't even. Which, why are you paying that money then?
You were pretending. Yes. You were pretending to be ignored.
Yeah. This doesn't seem like $150 a month of eye contact. I came here to make friends.
That's like, it's almost like hot yoga is like heavy eye contact Pilates. It's a different way to work out where your muscles, like the tension and the awkwardness makes every muscle in your body flex.
Yeah, I think it was hot yoga that made me realize I have too good of a sense of smell to do that sport.
You know what? How is your sense of smell? I have decided that I have really good hearing, you guys. Andy, my fella. Really good smell. He's got a good sniffer.
Yeah, back when I was smoking cigs long ago, when I quit that, superhuman sense of smell. I could smell everything.
Well, you know what I would actually say is smell might be connected to this. I have a superhuman sense of taste. So I can't, like, if you give me a piece of chocolate that's been sitting next to a Starburst, I can tell you that has been happening.
Oh, that is amazing.
I can taste that the fruit, the like chemical fruit flavoring has seeped into the chocolate experience.
What about your eyesight?
When I eat beef, I can tell if it was raised in the same farm as a pig.
Did you ever meet a pig? Because I can taste it on your breath.
Yes. The emotional comfort you got from that pig is really coming through in this burger.
Yeah. A friendship. I can taste the friendship with other kinship with
Did
other animals.
Did you know Charlotte? You ever ask that of a pig? Did you ever know Charlotte?
Yeah, they love it. They love it. You know what? They never laugh, and neither does the farmer.
No one laughs during Charlotte's Web.
I walked all the way up the road to your barn to make this joke, and you're not even going to chuckle, grumpy ass.
And you're going to call the cops for trespassing? What the hell?
You know, I've been trying to write a bit where the punchline is, we're all living in the first 80 pages of Watership Down. Guess what's not working? Guess what isn't working? It just isn't.
Sorry, may I make a suggestion?
Yes.
You just wrote that bit. The way you just said it.
Yeah.
All right. You did it. Just do it
you
like
just
that.
Did it. Yes.
I think in your act, you should have 5 minutes of material that started with the punchline and pleading with the audience to help. And then
you guys, reverse engineer.
Did nobody else read about Napoleon? It's like he didn't just go to Elba, he also went to St. Helena. Anything? Okay.
Flappers? No. Get behind me, flappers.
Get thee behind me.
They love it at Flappers when you talk, period. Yeah.
Yes.
They're a period comedy club.
They're a period piece, people.
Yes, yeah.
Jackie, I saw a bit of yours on TikTok the other day.
I am on TikTok. God knows.
That's very smart. Here's what I thought.
Okay.
Because I love TikTok now. I'm into it.
Oh, you're on board?
They've pulled me over.
I'm so into it.
Yeah, we pulled over.
Because my sister, we got one over. Mm-hmm. My sister was always sending me ones she liked. And then I think I've told Chris this, but I didn't have the app. And I was like weirdly refusing because I have leftover 90s problems. So it's like I refuse to download TikTok. Like that's meaningful in any way. So I just wouldn't do it. And then my sister would send me these videos that would be like, look at this dog guarding chickens and he loves it or whatever. But I would then just kind of like flip out of the video, but it would still be open. And then at some point in the middle of the night one time, the next video started rolling and it was just a girl like crying and talking like, I just don't want to save it. And it was like out of the blue where I was like, what the fuck, who's in here? And then I was like, I have to get the app because I can't live like
and
that.
You, the,
like
app,
the thread of that
anymore. The app gets to know you and only caters to you. And they figure out you don't like crying and they'll stop.
Yes, I really, every time I hit not interested.
Yeah. Not interested in crying.
No. But then, so I'm looking through and it's like, you know, there's all these people that I love that are on there like chef reactions, who's the funniest? And then just people that are like, hey, be yourself and be proud or whatever. And then flick, flick. And then it's just Jackie doing like a super solid 3-minute bit. And I was like, this is brilliant. It's so smart. Oh, it's the best way to have people show your little chunks off.
Yeah.
If they aren't going to go to a club.
Yeah. And most of them are, if I did more crowd work, because I know like there's so many comics who do crowd work. And I was like, I don't want to talk to the crowd. What am I going to say to them?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask them what they do for a living. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
They're trying to get away from it. So I did send a couple of, I sent an hour to a guy. And I was like, I'm unwilling to watch this. If you can find any sort of under a minute clips of anything that you can do. And so he sent me like 6 clips. And one of them was a new bit that I was willing to post because it's a story that's probably never going to make it onto an album. It's about how I maced somebody. And because like every time I do something horrible like that, and that has happened, I would say every 3 to 5 years, I push somebody or snap.
That's one of the things I love about you. I just want to say that, that you're not afraid to throw down.
But the thing is I am always going to be the adult in the story. Especially, it's very weird when the first story like that, the child was 9. I will always tell that story and I will always be 31. And that kid will always be 9.
Yeah.
It's not a great story.
That's not a pepper spray story, is it?
No, that's not the pepper spray.
Wait, you made the third grader? What in the fuck?
Wait, did you send this? Was this guy that you sent the clip to a cop? Is that, is it? And,
no. did you write your admission underneath?
Statute of limitations.
I, Jackie Cation, pushed this little piece of shit.
I whipped a towel at her. But it was literally when I realized that I was going to have to be the adult in every situation.
Yeah.
When I realized that I was acting like a child. Anyway, mm-hmm. So the pepper spray thing happened late at night. After a comedy club gig, I walked to my car and there was a dude leaning against my car. And it was 1 a.m. and I was like, hey, man, that's my car. I'm going to need to get into it if you could move. And he was like, because he was all super drunk. And I'm like, nope. Got to move. And he's like, let's talk. And I'm like, let's not talk. It's 1 a.m. What? And then finally he goes, you seem nice. And I'm like, oh, that's an illusion. And then I root around in a JanSport and I pull out mace at one point. And I go, I have mace. And he's like, you're not going to mace me. And I maced him. And then.
Just a little squeeze. Doesn't it work great? How close were you?
Too close because I maced myself.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know if you've ever maced anybody.
That happens to everybody.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The way you just said that, though, I thought you were going to like drag it out and just like, you're not going to mace me. And I'm
The whole story is about how I maced him and then how I maced myself. And then the back end of the second, you know, because every bit I write is something like 4.5 to 6 minutes. And then 1.5 years later, we've got it down to 2.5 and 3 minutes. Yeah. When it's old news that I've tightened it up. But the point being is that I should have, as soon as I saw him, I should have walked back to the comedy club.
Right.
And gotten Matt Fugate, which is what I had to do after I maced him. I had to walk back to the comedy club and get Matt Fugate.
Yeah, you're going to have to go anyway.
2 glasses of water because a couple of people have been maced. And we have washed out our eyeballs. And I get back to my car and he's sitting next to my car crying because he's been maced. Yeah. And if I had just done it initially, he also might have been sitting next to my car crying because I don't know how you drank in the 90s. But I used to sit next to cars crying.
Oh my God. I used to come too on like stoops in the middle of like a speech while I was crying, where I was like, I literally one time said to my friend Scott, sorry, I don't know what's going on. And he was like, you're crying because blah, blah, blah. And like he had to tell him, it was like I came to in a blackout. Like, what am I upset? What's happening here?
Right. Remind me. Yeah. Remind me why I'm so angry.
Maybe the guy by the car had just come to and he's like, this looks like the car of a future friend. I'm going to wait.
I'm going to wait right here.
Talk about it in the daylight, motherfucker. Yeah. Get out of here. Yeah. No future friend at 1 a.m.
You did the right thing. I'm proud of that. Everyone should have mace. I've said that for
years. It's part of this larger bit about why I shouldn't own a gun.
Yes.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. Because several people have told me I should get a gun. And of course, the main reason I shouldn't have a gun is how much I want a gun.
Mace.
Mace will do it.
A sword, had guns,
a bow and arrow. Yeah.
Then we wouldn't need mace. If everyone had mace, we wouldn't need guns. Don't quote me on the first version.
Chris is trying to give you some life advice here. Hold on a second.
Let me say the opposite first.
If everybody would just please buy a gun, is what Chris is saying.
Oh my God.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
So my mother-in-law moved in with us about 3 months
permanently.
Ago. Oh yeah, she's in. And okay. And it's I'm working on a new genre, positive mother-in-law material. I have yet to write anything, but
have so, you experienced it?
I do. The biggest problem is I like her. You know, I like her and I love her. So she's fine. But she is, of course, older and, you know, and there's a lot of changes, including her own life, which has been, she used to live in like a 3,000 square foot house with a giant, you know, up by the sequoias. And now she lives in our 1,000 square foot house in her room. And she brought her dog and cat, like we're stacked like cordwood in this stupid house anyway. But,
Did she like fall and hit her hip, or like break her hip or something?
Well, her health went. She was just going to move down and move into an apartment, but then her health kind of went south. And so we brought her down. She has the best insurance. I took her to her new primary care insurance person, and they had a live orchid in the waiting room. Chris, Karen, they had kept an orchid alive. I was like, oh, she's going to live with us forever.
This is going to be great.
Yeah.
I was like, I go to Kaiser. They don't even have plastic flowers.
Yeah.
I mean, I was
dead
like,
ferns
amazing.
Everywhere. That is a good sign that someone knows how to keep you alive. If you can do an orchid.
Orchids are amazing. And so anyway, but
they're hard to keep alive though. Yeah.
I can do it. I can keep an orchid alive for like 2 months, and right when I start getting cocky, they die.
That'll do it. It can yes. sense it. It can be like, no, you are not as reverent as I need you to be.
I'm killing orchids with my arrogance. It's unbelievable.
Smell hubris, and I'm goat.
Goodbye.
Bam. Andy's moms, he had two moms. They got in on the ground floor of lesbianism back in the day. And, his stepmom passed away. And so his mom moved in with us, but they had I swear to God, it's what we're all going to be when we're 100 years old, is that we're all going to have collected these things that all we do is like, I opened a man-sized safe to probably hundreds of dollars worth of those quarters that have the states on the back. And they're missing Delaware, if anybody has access to that.
They really were collecting those quarters?
All those quarters. They've got them in books. Fran collected them. They also were collecting, this is my favorite story, is they're collecting, Fran used to collect $2 bills. Because she thought they were fun. And so there's like $3,000 in $2 bills. And so Chris, who is Andy's mom, says, my brother loves $2 bills. We should send them to him. And I said, everyone loves $3,000, Chris. Yes, he will indeed love to receive all of these $2 bills.
Yeah, in any denomination.
But why don't we write him a check and not loosey-goosey send him $2,000, $3,000 through the mail?
Yeah, I thought $2 bills were rare, but I'm seeing them a lot and finding no one's impressed with my collection of $2 bills.
I had a family friend. She was my mom's best friend from nursing school, and she would send us $2 bills in cards for like for whatever holiday. And at first I was like, ooh, like keep this rare thing. And I can't tell you how quickly I spent those when I was broke. We'd just be like, just pulling another very meaningful and generous and lovely gift out and being like right down to 7-Eleven or whatever. We're just like, right. I gotta do it. It's money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. It turns out the other thing.
Don't collect money.
Collecting money is the one thing that they did have that nerd. This is why I know that it's going to be me one day is because I make fun of the quarters. I make fun of the $2 bills. There were dollars and half dollars. I'm like, oh no, I want those. I'm going to save those.
Oh, like silver dollars?
Yeah. Like silver, like old, like Franklin and.
I do take issue with those because there's the little gold ones and they are the circumference of a quarter pretty much.
Those
are the new ones. There's new ones that have all
I don't
the
like
presidents.
Because you try and tip with them and they're like, hey, cheapskate. I'm like, no, this is
$4.
I swear I'm not giving you $1. So you have to announce, hey, And don't forget later, if this is in your pocket, this is a dollar, okay? What am I, Canadian?
You have to learn to flick it off your thumb, like from the 50s, yeah, and be like, here's 2 bits.
Here's 4 bits. Over your shoulder. It's not 2 bits, it's 4 bits.
It's an uni and a toony.
These are the old Kennedy ones, the old Eisenhower ones. 50 cent pieces of dollars. Remember those?
Those ones hurt your
thumb. So for some reason, those are worthwhile for me to stick in a box.
They are. I have a collection of those. And I might be able to help you out with that Delaware quarter. I'm not kidding. Does it have to be a specific year or just Delaware, the state?
I think they were just looking for Delaware.
I really do think I have one.
Okay.
It's a nice gesture.
You want to complete the thing, Fran? Maybe she'll come back. Maybe she'll be like,
I'll hand deliver the quarter to you up in Solvang. Don't move.
Chris, we have to finish this show.
Some guy following me.
You're on a bird scooter. That's how I picture you.
Does Andy's mom cook?
She does. She likes to bake.
Oh, nice.
So when we sort of, she has arthritis and like these muscle spasms. So we're trying to get her pain meds right. Hilariously, she doesn't want to get addicted to pain meds. And I was like, now's the time. Double down, Chris. It's, you know, she's like, I want to go down on my Norco and just sort of try to figure out a way. And I'm like, maybe meditate. I was like, stop talking. Take another pill.
Meditate.
Yeah, my dad he mentions the opioid crisis multiple times a day. Mm-hmm. And I'm just happy that he found those and smoking his bong in the garage. And it takes, because he has the same thing. It looks like he's pulling a Martin Short routine when he has coffee. It shakes and coffee goes everywhere. And I'm like, that looked purposeful because it's hilarious. But it's the only thing that helps are narcotics. You just can't take 12 in a day.
Right. And she's not an addictive personality. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm constantly like, how many you got? Yeah. And
for real. Well, but the point you're making is so true, where it's just like, if you've made it to the point where you live with your family and your wife is gone and you've got some fucking Norcos, go to town. And you don't have to come back from town because we got you. We will literally put you in bed. Yeah. Like, go be high if you
be high. Please be high.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Take a break.
Take a break and then, you know, and try to figure out the exact right doses where you can stand for 20 minutes or 40 minutes and make some sourdough bread. And then you're like, dude, I made some sourdough bread, you know?
Yeah.
That's what she would love that.
Is she open to, because my dad my whole life I don't think he had ever tried weed. And I'm not kidding. He goes down to the garage and smokes out of a Hunter's Orange bong and rips fatties and then tells stories and giggles and loses track of the story. Like, I love watching him be high. It's the best thing for someone, a retiree, to get into. I love it.
Yes, it's
all
great.
The oldies need to get high.
They really do.
She used to be a bit of a Stony Magoo, but she hasn't been. She's not been
Stony Magoo. She would walk off the edge of a building until very specific. Sorry,
it was a plank, and then
Magoo,
she'd fall to the next. Right, she's
right. Yes,
her feet would never hit the ground. She would always just be caught.
We know right now. The three of us know what we're talking about, but no one knows about Mr. Magoo, voiced of course by Mr. Howell on Gilligan's Island. I'm going to keep talking about this because Jackie's frozen.
Jackie's frozen, so we're just going to power through this.
It's Solvang. Yes, she's
there
back.
There she is.
I'm back.
Oh, frozen again. Oh. No, you're good.
There she is.
Here's the good news is individually, whatever that 30 seconds was, we're all going to have some real good commentary.
Oh my God, they should blend it all perfectly together. We're just all talking at the same time.
We did clap. So there is hope.
That's why we clap.
Whoever we choose will be considered the winner of that freeze-up.
That's right.
Let the games begin, because I was really trying.
The word off.
Word off. Are you guys doing Wordle? I don't know why. I'm just curious. I'm not.
I forget
Andy's
to do
doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had good luck with it in the beginning, and I quickly realized the addiction, because it's not easy. And there's a sense of accomplishment when one is easy for you. You take it personally and makes your whole day better. Maybe I should get back into it. I've been looking for little reasons to make my day better.
My sister and my dad were into it, but I honestly think it's just because everyone liked it so much at the same time.
Yeah.
That my
they gave it a
contrary
shot?
Nature, I was just like, no thanks. I'll do this later when no one else is doing it.
Yeah, now is a perfect time to get into Wordle.
Because everybody's over it.
Yeah, I can't even pronounce it.
No one talks about it anymore. Yeah. But my question is this. Is it, it's not an app, because there's a ton of like fake Wordle apps, people trying to make money off of it. It's a website. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the New York Times, I think, bought it.
Yeah, you're right.
So it was like 12 seconds into it being popular. The guy who made Wordle for his wife as a fun thing made a Scrooge McDuck pile of money.
Yes.
And he was like, whatever. And do whatever you want with it. I'm gonna go build her a picnic table.
I'm going to go make her a pool filled with Delaware quarters that you can swim in.
Right. But Andy does it every day. And sometimes I'll be walking by his computer and he'll go, want to help me? And so that's me playing Wordle.
There is a movie still version where it just shows a quick photo, usually a landscape without any characters from a movie. And I only see it when I see my friends that play pool down here at Little Joy, where I go a lot. Yeah, it's a bar. Yeah, I go to play pool. Stop calling me a drunk, you guys. But I don't even know the name of the site. But it's the same thing. A guy made a website, and you have to log onto the website, and you have to first know that website's name.
Oh,
I only play along when someone says, "What movie is this?" And I'm like, "Oh, easy." There's no stakes in guessing for someone else.
That's right.
Yeah,
you haven't downloaded anything.
Yeah. And so I'm way into it. Yeah. Finally, all those years being raised by a TV paying off.
I love that you're way into it as if you pass by and you play.
If I, it's the same with a lot of drugs.
All these things have to happen, but then he's super into it. My dad plays my sister and my dad both are now doing Wordle. But before that, my dad really was into the word scramble in the newspaper, which is where like the letters are all scrambled, obviously. And then there's circles. And then if you solve all five, you can write the sentence. Then there's a scrambled sentence that you have to write or a scrambled clue. It's been in the newspaper since I think the 60s. Like it's super old. I just thought it was really funny, like the word scramble, a daily jumble is what it's called.
Oh, right, right.
My dad's been playing that for a really long time. No one gave a shit. Suddenly Wordle comes out and it's like, this is amazing. And it's like, it's literally the jumble. It's basically the same thing. It's just it's like the app version of
it. Yeah. And this guy probably wasn't trying to steal it. He was just making it easier for his wife to do it. And then New York Times is like, hey, we'll steal it. But yeah, it was already a thing.
But somebody had to write code. And before it was someone just drew circles. Yeah, the old, they used to just draw circles.
With the occasional one.
Well, they were smart enough to get it out of the newspaper, which is, as we know, a dying legacy media.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, did you see that? I guess the guy who draws or writes Dilbert is being canceled, so he'll be playing stadiums. But he just said that 177. So, no, he didn't say. It said 77 newspapers canceled my cartoon yesterday, and Lori Kilmartin, of course, screenshot it, and then wrote, "We all know that there's only 14 newspapers left."
Yeah,
and, I thought I would explain her joke.
Right, I saw joke. What did old Dilbert? He just got canceled for.
Yeah, there was. He was complaining about. Environmental investing, the fact that a lot of those groups. These are people, you know, when you got a lot of money and you put it in a fund, yeah, a mutual fund, right? So there's mutual funds that are dedicated to being socially responsible or ecologically responsible or environmentally helpful. And the guy who writes and draws Dilbert thinks that's dumb.
Because he doesn't like environmentalists, because you need to cut down trees to print up his cartoon and all the many, many, many existing print newspapers, right?
Right.
But you know, the truth of that story is that one newspaper, it's called like Lee, whatever, then it's the name Lee is in there somewhere. There are just 77 newspapers that this one company right. owns. And this company decided to get rid of all cartoons and all, like, that whole page.
Oh.
So the Dilbert guy was making it about that he personally is getting canceled, and that's not the case at all. He's basically lying. It's just, like, he's canceled, so is Snoopy, so is Marmaduke. Yeah. Everybody got canceled. They're not insane.
Yeah, Billy is crying right-wing. In Family yeah. Circus right now.
Yeah. And then...
Murphy is running around.
A perforated line
backyard.
Shows him also visiting the ghost of his grandma and some vague mention of God. Yeah, none of those other cartoonists got mentioned or a nod thrown at them in Office Space. Wasn't the Stephen Root's character in Office Space based on Dilbert? I think so.
It might have been.
Yeah.
I will say.
In the credits, it said that.
In a lateral story, Family Circus reminds me that Matt Fugate, who I should have gone and got initially after the Mace story,
sure.
used to do a joke about how much he hated Family Circus because whenever it rained, Billy would say, God is crying. So Matt Fugate, probably.
Very true.
They had another weird one where it was like, Grandma went to go visit her friend in heaven, diabetes, or something. Like, I was like, that is off color. Come on, Bill
Are we
King.
Sure that one was real? Because you know, there were people that were replacing the captions on Family Circus.
Oh, no.
And they would be like a Nietzsche quote, but a Family Circus cartoon.
I bet that's what this was, and I fell for it. Like, they wouldn't make that.
Could be. Do you want me to look it up? It could be. It could. That one sounds like it could go either way.
Yeah. True that. That does sound like it could have been a real one. Oh, my gosh.
Linda Barry, the cartoonist and writer, and Jackie, I'm sure you know who she is, right?
Yep.
Love her so much. She told the story, Chris, not that you
no,
wouldn't.
No, I was going to say,
girl stuff,
the Linda girl Barry?
Stuff. But she's a, you know, like kind of an underground cartoonist. If you've never seen her stuff, you should look it up. It's really awesome and really well written, and she's just kind of genius. And she was a friend of Matt Groening's. They went to Evergreen College at the same time, like whatever. But she tells a story about the first time she got to go to a comic convention or whatever. Not Comic-Con, but like for
comic
illustrators.
Book. Yeah.
Exactly. And there she is.
You know
Marley's
why
book.
I have this book, Karen?
Why?
Did you borrow it
you
from me?
You lent it to me.
Yes.
And you have bookmarks in it. You're a huge fan
I
of Linda
I have
Barry.
Bookmarks for all of the good ones that I want people to read first if they're gonna get
oh,
into it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, don't take yeah. it personally because in my defense, you did hand me a book. But I am going to read the bookmarked ones because that's a good place
Do
to
it.
Start. I'm sorry that I haven't read it yet. You gave me this 5, 6, 7 years ago.
You know, actually, that me giving it to you saved it because all the books that I brought to when I moved into this new house, I didn't unpack for like a month because I was just being lazy. I left everything in the garage and the air conditioner broke and flooded the garage and I had to throw away all my books.
Oh, wow. That's...
Everything was like soaked and then had mildew on
so
it.
So now you own like one really, book. Yeah.
I've had to like rebuild the... I mean, I completely forgot. So that's
yep,
awesome.
I have
it's
it
like
here.
It's like a leftover. But... Okay, so Linda Barry, that author, yeah. goes to this illustrator, comics, whatever, and she sees Billy Keene, who is Bill Keene's son, who was Billy in the Family
wow.
Circus comic strip. So Bill Keene had died, and Linda Barry talks about how she loved single panel cartoons as a kid, and she loved Family Circus. So she went up to Billy Keane to say, I loved your father's comic. It's so inspiring to me. And she's, as she sees him, she starts crying, and she could not stop crying. So she was like, I was talking through the tears, but I was like, she was so overwhelmed by how much, like, that it was Billy in real life standing there, that she just lost her shit. And would, like, he had to hold her while she sobbed because she was meeting Billy in real life.
Yeah, and his dad had passed. And it was, I didn't know it was, like, to dedicated to his kids his whole life. That's really sweet. I would cry, too. Not that this is a crying contest, something that I hold nightly here at my apartment. I'm kidding.
Chris gets very competitive about emotions.
I, with myself, though. It's like, can I cry harder than last night? Yeah, no, it's that is so sweet. I love that. I love that story.
Speaking of cartoonists, I went to a wedding on Cape Cod in June, and there was an Edward Gorey museum, and it's his old house.
Yes.
So we got to wander around his house. Yes. And on the wall was the menu and from the diner that he used to eat at like three times a week, and a waffle from that diner. And what a weirdo, a classic weirdo.
Yes.
And so then after that museum, Andy and I went to lunch at the diner that he used to go to, and it was delicious.
I love that guy.
Was the waffle?
I love that guy.
It was just pinned to the wall.
It was in plexiglass.
Oh,
it was
okay,
like
sure.
It was like a diorama of your favorite waffle. And
enjoy.
His cousin is the curator of it, and I was like, well, we should buy stuff at the gift shop. And Andy's like, well, I have all the books. And I'm like, buy more books. We wanted to still be here. and then
I want to go there.
Yeah, we got a T-shirt for my mother-in-law, and she wore it. She was like, who is this guy? And then we handed her the alphabet, and she laughed, and she was like, so dark.
It's so dark.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love.
As a child, those books, I would just be like, I can't believe what I'm looking at. This is magic.
John Doerr and I took a train down to San Diego and did stand up for illustrators and caricature artists convention. And a lot of them had comic books, and they were the best audience because any visual thing that I give, I just assume an audience is going to go along with me for, and sometimes it's too abstract or something, and this whole audience was into it. I've never had more fun just like challenging myself to do stuff that requires you to visualize things. They were the best.
That's awesome.
I had so much fun. And one of them did a very unflattering caricature of me, and I love it.
Yeah, they're supposed to.
Yeah, it looks just like me. Yeah.
Right, they found that thing about me that I don't like, and they accentuated it. Fantastic.
And they made it gigantic.
I was at the Improv last night, and there was a young man who talked to me, who literally introduced himself by saying, we work together doing this one gig on a rooftop in Hollywood, and my life is on fire. Like, those were like the two things he said. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I don't remember you. And what is your name? And then he told me his name because I never remember anyone's name. And I was like, oh, well, I must have worked with him. And if I worked with him at that gig, he's probably very funny. And I was like, well, do you need to talk about it? And why would I say that? The floodgates opened.
Oh, God.
And so he did not mean
that, like, his career was on fire. He said
he's living in his car and he just got fired from Instacart.
Oh, that kind of fire. That kind of fire.
Yeah. Yeah. All so, right. And he had been in jail last year in Brisbane, Australia. And I was like, what's it? And so he just, and then he said, and last month I opened for Bill Burr. And I was like, oh, what a weird. I'm so sorry, all these, this is weird. And I was like, so at least, and he's like, not at least, everything's horrible. And he keeps going. And then two other people come up, and they're the people that booked that rooftop thing that he said that we both did.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he took off. And I was like, oh, do you remember him? He said that we worked together. And the woman who booked it said, he's never worked that gig. And it turns out he was made of lies.
That young man was lying.
Yeah, it was the weirdest. Yeah, he didn't open for Bill Burr. He was on a show with Bill Burr.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I don't know why you would lie to this.
He saw you on that rooftop or something.
Right. He must have just was hanging out.
I think you should have maced him.
I think you should have maced him with money. Yeah, I think that's what
he might have wanted a 10 spot or something. I'm uncertain. Gas cash? Whatever it was, I got walked to my car. So
yeah, he could have been hanging out there.
Well, no, because every time I walked away from anything, showed up. And
he's like, I thought of one more bad thing that I need to tell you about.
God.
And I was like, is it bad? Are you okay? And then I was like, well, I have to go do a set. And he was like, oh, I was just going to tell you one more thing. And I'm like, no, Siri, I'm up next. I just got to go.
Jackie, so I'm only telling you because no one told me about it. There's a up the stairs. You just need to cross that rope, but you have the right to do so. There's a beautiful green room up there with comfortable chairs with zero people. And you can then walk down the stairs to get on stage. So
and just get on stage.
Because I always make eye contact with all the maceable faces. and you can bypass that. Last time it made it a lot easier. Yeah.
Right. And what's weird is that, so I got off stage and he popped back up. And then I was like, well, I have an early morning. I have to drive to Solvang. And
that old excuse. That he's old like, excuse. I've heard that a thousand times.
And it's only 2.5 hours. So it's not really that early. I left.
You like
at
to
10.
Get here for sunrise. Yeah.
I never know how to end those conversations. So I was like, he was like, yeah, it's just, you know, it's really, you know, things have been going good and then they've been going so horrible. I was like, do you want a hug?
Aww.
And I'm insane. I've lost my mind. So I gave him a hug and then I was like, somebody walked into my car.
Okay, but please remember that like you're hugging him and he's reaching into your pocket to see if he can take your wallet.
Right,
like, you don't know this person.
You don't
owe them shit.
Right, I don't. And it's weirdly, because the last three nights I keep doing these gigs and I feel so bad because like everyone is like, you know me, we work together. There was a guy, I recorded a Dork Forest with him that day, an hour on Zoom. I saw him that night and he had to introduce himself. And I was like, I am so sorry. And I don't know why. I have like 600 slots in my brain.
Yeah.
You two are in it. Get
thanks.
This. Hey. Some people are in it that are dead. And I'm like, get out of there. I need those slots.
I'll never run into you.
Exactly.
Unless something very specific happens. This is not needed for you.
Right.
It's important to recognize ghosts when they present themselves to you. Otherwise, they get mad and that's why they haunt.
They get so pissed off.
Yeah.
And that's why they haunt.
That's
straight to music.
Oh my God. Please. I want that book. That's why they haunt.
Dot, dot, dot. And that's why they haunt.
Always.
And they're offended.
I would love it if a ghost just showed up and I was like, Sage, found it. And just like anything.
It works.
Sage spray.
Oh, like a mace. Oh, yeah. It'd be like mace. But I'd be like, I'm going to sage you. You're not going to sage me, Sage.
And Sage.
You've been saged.
Or maybe the first time you were on our podcast, we had a fun conversation about hip hop that we like, I think I admitted there isn't any new hip hop that I like, but there are these guys, they're in their 60s, they're from Ireland, and generally I try to steer clear of any white guy parody rap, like comedy rap, but these guys are serious and they're old men with like high dad jeans and spinner, like they are conscious of how they look, but they are seriously good rappers and it's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
And the Northern Boys, did you see that?
It's called the Northern Boys?
They're from Northern England.
They must be from Wales. the all of a sudden I know about the different accents.
It's not North.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, not. Yeah. It, yeah. I didn't mean Wales. Not Liverpool. Oh, where? Again, I know the guy.
They're from Scoot.
I thought that it was a Milli Vanilli thing and it wasn't the real guys. And then I found a live concert and it's all rabid young fans. And I just loved what I found.
There's one, the old guy with the shaved head that goes, now I'm going to go take a number three. That's a piss and a shit and a wank and a tree. Yeah, yeah. I was like, that's kind of where I hit the video. And I was like, what am I watching right now?
Who wants to make love to a sad old man? they are...
It's hilarious.
Yeah, and they have their solo stuff. It got put up like 5 days ago, and it's already at a quarter of a million views. When I found it last night on Twitter, that's probably where you found it, Karen. It was like 50,000 views. We're at the ground floor on these guys.
Which is good because they're in their 60s.
Yeah.
So,
but they rap about doing sketchy drugs and how all their ex-wives are going to be happy when they're dead. It's self-deprecating. And that's what I always want. And what's missing from hip hop for me is like that early 90s, like self-deprecating. It was hard to find at the time. They just are making fun of themselves and they're serious and it's great. And they're from Northern England.
I bought the Silk Sonic album. Which every 2 years I like to buy an album, you guys. I like to get out there.
Good, mommy.
I did not get our...
Wait, Jackie, can I just say, the last time I saw you in, or not the last time, but a recent time pre-COVID that I saw you was at the Improv Lab. And you were like on your phone. You're like, have you listened to this? It's amazing. And you were holding up your
Amazon Music?
Yes, your Amazon Music, and it was the Hamilton album. I was like, Jackie, get away from me right now. Get away. Don't do that shit to me. You're just like, have you heard it? This is unbelievable. It's like, Jackie's on one. She's got her new favorite thing, and she's telling the world about it.
I swear to God, I was born your aunt. I was born everybody's 53-year-old aunt. But I have to tell you, I was like, have you heard they take pop music and they do it with chamber orchestra? Have you heard about it? It's the soundtrack to Bridgerton. Anyone?
Everyone was, there was a void missing with powdered wig hip hop and they tapped into it.
It was so needed.
And for me, it was a Wordle situation. I avoided it when it was popular. But then I did finally watch it like last year and I was like, oh my God, okay, I'm ready to talk about this 4-year-old thing with everyone. It is amazingly good. Yeah.
Right. There's too much content. I can't even keep up with all the Marvel stuff, much less.
You have 600 slots.
I have 600 slots. They are monumentally full. And a lot of them are British detective constable inspectors. And I've decided we have two dogs now, two little Chihuahua mixes. It's that when I walk them, it is the tiny Iditarod. And I've decided I want to write a book where they are both constables and they're solving crimes because they're constantly smelling things and ruining crime scenes by peeing on things. And it's DCI Gordy and Constable Tyson.
Are they boy and girl or
they're
boy and
two
boy?
Boys. Two boys. Yep. And they're both 9 years old, but Chris had Tyson since he was a puppy. And we got Gordy a year and a half ago from the pound.
Gordy is the best name.
Gordy's a great name.
Yeah.
And Gordy, it's so good.
We have so much in common, Gordy and I. Who knew that I would have so much in common with a middle-aged Chihuahua?
Yeah, an older Chihuahua. Older dogs in general need to have like mid-70s uncle names, I think.
Yeah. You mean like Frank?
Yeah, Frank is...
My dog, yes, Frank?
Frank is perfect.
Frank and Gordy... are great.
Wow, they great should have coffee name. Over at the Bob's Big Boy.
and go complain about how they won't use their coupons at Bed Bath & Beyond.
You know, I once saw Tony Curtis at that Bob's Big Boy.
Really?
Did you?
Yeah, like in the late 90s.
What'd you say to him?
I literally just stared at him like a goon. You would have thought it would have been like him. Billy. I just cried. I just cried. And he had to hold me. No. I was like, I loved you in that shitty movie where you were a sultan's child, but you're really not even Arabic. You're Italian or Jewish. What are you, sir?
Anyway. Wait, is he Jamie Lee Curtis's dad?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Tony Curtis.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And
Janet Leigh. Janet Leigh.
Janet Leigh. That's
yeah.
right.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was, I never saw Bob Hope. I used to say, after I saw Tony Curtis, people go, oh yeah, Bob Hope goes there sometimes late at night. And I would sometimes be driving back from a set and I would just stop at Bob's Big Boy to see if Bob Hope was there.
So you could go in and kick him in the shin?
No, because I was a giant nerd. And I loved I loved those Bing Crosby, Bob Hope. Even though they're in Toluca Lake, there's that church that his infidelity built.
Yes.
He had a deal with his wife that every time he cheated on his wife, he would donate to that Catholic church because he was
You're
Anglican.
You're fucking kidding me.
No, and For she real. Was Catholic. And so that church is the biggest church in the whole wide world. It's a cathedral.
It looks, and the whole outside has like this ornate, the kind of almost like Rococo front where there's all kinds of almost like plastered sculpture all around the front. It's so fancy. And it's because he just kept giving them money.
Right.
Because he fucked
That's how
everything
much he was
that,
fucking? Ugh. We don't want to hear about Bob Hope fucking every day.
Oh my God. They have an auditorium and a gym and like it keeps going like a whole row of it. And then, yeah, because I used to drink over at the steak joint with Y, which was on the shim right there. The J-O-Y-N-T.
Oh, I
and
get
I would
it.
Go,
the word
yeah,
joy is
it.
In joint. Oh, yeah, I
yeah,
get it.
Steak joint. That's it was right. called the steak joint. And I would go, I would walk down Whipple up to Lancashire and because then I could get drunk enough that I could stumble home all by myself.
Yes.
And I would pretend that I was going for dinner. It was great. I would lie to myself.
Okay.
It's much like doing Pilates.
Yeah.
I love their size.
You could have stumbled there. That's stumbling distance from your old place. Yeah.
Yep. That actually would be just right down. I would just be coming from the other
direction. Yeah, you could take side streets. It's a safe stumble.
Who doesn't want to save stumble? So you're sitting, I was sitting with the career drunks at the bar and that's when I heard that story. And I was like, is that true? And the guy's like, I swear it's true.
Wow.
And I didn't believe every story I heard at that bar, but that one I did because of how big that church is.
Wow.
And
you know, what's funny, Bob Hope, his old like estate would have been on my path if I was to stumble down to and meet you at the steak joint with a Y. And when I was moving over there, the last neighborhood watch meeting I went to in my old neighborhood, which was when I lived off of Mickle Terena in Silver Lake, I went to this neighborhood watch because a girl got her purse snatched, like a car drove by and took her purse off of her arm as she was walking to her apartment directly in front of our apartment. So we had to like open the door and pull her in and she was like crying and it was really weird. So I went to this neighborhood watch meeting, even though we were moving.
Yeah.
And so one lady's like, how come I've never met you before? She's some old lady that had lived in the neighborhood for literally 50 years. And I was like, oh, I just live in an apartment. I thought these weren't for non-permanent people. And I'm actually moving to Toluca Lake. And she goes, oh, I used to be Bob Hope's assistant. And I was like, oh, really? And she starts telling me these stories. But then she goes, yeah, but he was a terrible man. I mean, he was all hands. And she goes, one time he had me taking notes from him and he just went like this. And then this old lady grabbed my boobs. It's like,
oh my God.
It was at the end of the neighborhood watch part. So luckily it wasn't like people were standing around, but it was purely for the story. Like, I think for just the impact of the story, but she just was like, and I was just like, what a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Right. That's a son of a bitch. And it's weird because it's like, is the nudity needed in a movie?
Yeah.
I don't think you could have just explained that, lady. You didn't need to actually grab me.
Yeah, just say it. I get it.
Yeah.
I know what it means.
Andy goes to our neighborhood watch meetings, and he said that if he ever runs for office, his only platform is that you get to park in front of your own home. And he said that he
is that what everyone's pissed off about?
That's what everyone is pissed off about. He's like, people would give away all of their rights if they could park right in front of their house. And I was like, all right, I'm never going to that.
No, don't. It's all old people that want to grab your tits.
Yeah. Boy, that is amazing that she did. I guess that, yeah, it's a testament to how bad he was if she thought that wasn't bad.
Right. Yeah.
Or how bad it was. I mean, yeah. I think it's like a sign of the times where it was like, hey, you want to be in showbiz? Well, you got to give something up. It was like that.
Right. And it's bodily autonomy. And yes.
Wow.
Basically like not being bruised and battered
Yeah.
your weird boss.
You know, and I talked to Kilmartin about this all the time about how what we tolerate and what I talked to the 20s and 30s comics. And I'll tell them some story that I swear to God was funny. And,
and they just stare at you.
They're like, what the fuck happened? Are you okay? And then what happened? I was like, well, we went to breakfast. And
it was different back then.
It was.
Oh, wait, I should also say that old lady could have been completely crazy and never met Bob Hope in her life.
Right.
Right.
That's very
made
alleged.
It up. Yeah.
Very alleged. I had no proof.
Yeah.
That felt important. Right. Felt important to say.
It's anecdotal, you guys.
Yeah. So Jackie, you need to check your pockets after all your interactions, I think.
Right. They could have put drugs in there. They could have taken money out. They might be passing. I might be a safe drop. Like, I might be a place like Soviets.
Yeah.
She's an ignorant mule. She's been muling with no realization.
So
Maria
funny.
Bamford is doing a joke where one of the punchlines is, they're stupid angels, and I love them. No, they're giant. They're big, dumb angels, not stupid.
Yeah,
stupid,
yeah.
Too strong. Dumb angels.
Yeah, big, dumb angels is nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
That's a good idea for an app, though. If you need a mule...
I like that. I more like the idea that like spies will just use me like an old willow. Like they'll just be like, you know, that Kayshen will be standing over by.
Grab the notebook. Grab the notebook and write it down in solving. Please.
Old willow,
like an old willow, dropping things into your V-neck shirt,
tying ribbons around you to commemorate things.
I'm trying to remember what they call those drop. Those safe drop places for that spies would do. They're like, they're not safety deposit boxes.
Yeah, a needle exchange.
Not safety deposit boxes.
Right, it's not.
A dead drop, a cold drop.
It might be a
Is
dead
it something
drop.
Like that.
I think it's dead a dead drop? Drop. Thank you very much.
Wow.
I am a bit of a dead drop. You can always catch up with me. If I've moved, and I probably haven't, you could probably catch up with me and rifle through my pockets.
Also thinking about, because it's staying with me, the story of the guy that it was like, my life is on fire, which is like, that's immediately three red flags. Someone's like, I did a show with you, my life is on fire. That idea that guy just, his story was getting worse and worse. And I think normally people would go like, do you need money? Do you want to borrow money? Something like that.
Yeah.
And Jackie's like, do you need a hug? You actually are the perfect spy. Yeah, you're just like, I don't know what you want and I can't figure it out. So forget it.
Let me give you instead some close physical contact.
Yeah.
Let's play it safe.
It reminds me, do you remember Jevanka Steele?
Yes.
Okay, so Jevanka Steele and I had like a fight, like an open mic altercation where we yollered at each other or we were grumpy at each other or something.
Yeah.
And we both left and I was like, I don't like her. And, and I saw her like 2 or 3 weeks later and I completely forgot. And and it really summed up how the fact that I forget that I don't like people or that I'm mad at them. And so I remember seeing her, Jevanka Steele. And she was still mad at me. she got to be mean to me again. And then eventually she forgot about it too. And then we were fine.
That it's funny because I joke about it. I worry about memory loss and but I never forget the people that have wronged me. And that's my only like the long list of grievances from decades ago. Elementary school kids that wronged me. I still think about them and I'm like, my brain, I'm okay. It's still intact. If I still remember those people.
Yes, but my, that's great.
You should probably remember the good things.
Yeah. My mother-in-law refers to this, it will be pertinent at one point, but my mother-in-law refers to the dog as my baby, and I'm his mom, and I'm like, we are not related. I am not, we're just friends.
Yeah.
And the closest so I was thinking about I tried this on stage once and it made everyone uncomfortable. So I must rework it, obviously, because I said, the closest I ever came to sleeping with a dog. At which point the audience shuts down on me. And
that's the opening.
That's a line that I thought was funny because people, and then I say, because I had a crush on a guy named Dino Malai in third grade. And I said, are you named like after Dino, like the Flintstones dog? And he said, I'm Greek. Leave me alone. So it's a weird story that there's something there, but there's no dog fucking joke in there, is what I'm saying. There should be none of that happening.
I think there should be more of them.
Jackie, are you getting your set ready for tonight? Is tonight the night you're opening for Brian Regan?
All week, actually. I'm in Solvang tonight, and then Irvine, and then Oxnard.
Nice. Wow, that's great.
It's kind of Southern California. I get to, drive around. And he's always so fun. I mean, I work with him maybe 3 times a year. And he always has to do 10 minutes about politeness. And it's always fun for me who he's mad at because they have no courtesy.
I would love to see him mad.
It is. Probably actual anger is chilling. And very, very dangerous. I've never seen.
Yes. Oh, wow. Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, but to see him irritated.
What you wish for. Yeah.
His stand-up comedy anger is always a delight.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, one of my favorite bits of his was he was standing in line at Disneyland with his kids and an entire family skipped in front of them. And he was like, how does that happen? And he's like, fan out, kids, fan out, block the hallways. And at one point he wanted to grab the mom's purse and just whip it. And he was like, because clearly we're living in anarchy. And he was like, I just wanted to grab her purse and just go and whip it into the next Edward Scissorhands shrubbery. He told it better.
Carver into a new formation. And I think it needs to be addressed. You froze during the very important parts of that anecdote.
So don't use us as any kind of a guide or a judge of what you're going to do tonight.
I was only guessing where it was going, but when when it went to an Edward Scissorhands reference, I'm like, okay, I get it.
We've landed.
Purse straps, and then I heard Edward Scissorhands. Just to let the audience know what we're dealing with.
So, Jackie, do you have any plugs or anything like that? Because you have done your time. Oh, you have given us that you need to give us.
Let me say that I do stand-up comedy, and I am going to be in Minneapolis, and then I'm going to be in Michigan, and then I'm going to be other places. But if you were to go to JackieCation.com or FamilyPetAncestry.com, which just leads you right to JackieCation.com, because I bought FamilyPetAncestry.com and pointed it to JackieCation.com because it made me laugh. And I like the idea of someone thinking, I wonder if my cat came over on the Mayflower. Anyway, so my tour is on there, and you could come. And I have a new album and a new special out. And just on YouTube and on the streaming things, it's called Staycation because we were all home and my last name's Cation.
I love it.
Nice.
That's a perfect name. Yeah. You've been holding on to that for a while, right? You had to.
it was
one of the 600 slots.
Right. You would have thought. You would have thought that I would have been holding on to that. But I thought it was a little hacky. And then I'm like, no. Double down. Go with it. Mm-mm. And because I was thinking about calling it Altercation, and I may name all of them as puns of my name for the rest of maybe all of my albums.
Do it'll be like just as an alter ego, never address it, but just have a sinister goatee and never address it.
I thought of one of those curly mustaches, mm-hmm. Like the landlord.
Yeah. Just tying people to the railroad tracks.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Jackie's stand-up comedy, you simply must. Yeah. You can see it on YouTube, as she just told us about Staycation. But also, if you're on TikTok, follow Jackie and watch those clips. If you just get even the smallest sample of what this woman does on stage, you will want to see her live, and you will want to follow her into the
night. Yeah, I did a tour with Jackie, and we did a brewery or winery in Petaluma. And she did so well that I very, very much did not want to get on stage. And that's what she brings. She brings
nervousness for the comic that follows her. She says, follow that motherfucker with just simply with her joke writing.
Yeah. As an old willow.
Thank you, Jackie.
As an old willow would.
Being with we don't usually do this, but I want to give a shout out because our friend Dan Gabriel, he's a Bay Area comic. He said my niece is a giant fan of you and Karen. And so I'm just giving a shout out to Natalie Meekins just because
he asked
in a sweet way. And I'm like, that's a really nice message that you sent. And so.
God. Trying to get word to us about this old this old mule of a podcast, Natalie?
Yeah, we're still trudging with a bad hoof and some...
stay with us, Natalie. We're going to get back into that car and get off this mule.
Yeah, stay
Don't
with
worry.
Us, everybody, please.
Pick me up on Sunday.
Okay, we'll be there.
Up in Solvang.
The bells
on. I'll go back to Solvang so you can drive me home.
All the guy behind me. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? D-Y-N. A-R! This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Annalise Nelson.
Mixed by John Bradley.
Our talent booker is Patrick Kottner.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks. Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dynar Podcast. That's D-Y-N-A-R Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.